Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the Old Testament, Jeremiah 35. What a powerful time we had in the first service. I have no doubt that God is going to be speaking and encouraging each and every one of you. Jeremiah 35 will stand to the reading of the word in just a moment. Let me say that at any time, if you're standing and it's uncomfortable for you to stand, you can sit. We are going to read through a lengthy passage. I feel all of it is important. But sometimes during worship, when we're worshiping, if you want to sit down, you can. You can sit down. You can lay down. It's okay. Come on, somebody say it's okay. I did hear somebody say, you know, we worship so long and it's hard for me to stand. Then please, please feel free to sit. And our worship services, when we're singing, and sometimes are longer than others. Jeremiah 35, verse 1 through 19. If you're able to stand up for the reading of God's word as notes are being passed out, go ahead, stand up. If you're not able to, no worries. New International Version, are you ready? This word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Let me start over. You ready? I wasn't ready. You guys ready? Okay, let's try that again. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiachin, son of Josiah, the king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family, invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. And so, because the names are very difficult to pronounce, and I butchered them in the first service, he does that. He goes to the leaders, and verse 4, I brought them into the house of the Lord in the room of one of the sons of leaders there, man of God. All right. It was next to one of the officials and some other guys and Rechabites. And anyway, he tells them, drink some wine. Everybody say, drink some wine. Okay. But they replied, we don't drink wine because our forefather Jehonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command, quote, neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. You must never build houses, sow seed, plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things. You must always live in tents. Then you'll live long in the land where you are nomads. Verse 8. We've obeyed everything our forefather Jehonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we nor our wives nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in, had vineyards, fields, crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jehonadab commanded us. Verse 11. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean armies. So we've remained in Jerusalem, verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, go tell the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? Declares the Lord. Jehonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his descendants not to drink wine, and this command has been kept to this day. They don't drink wine because they obeyed their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, that you've not obeyed me. Again and again I sent my servants, the prophets, to you. And they said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. And you'll live in the land I have given you and your ancestors. But you've not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have carried out the command of their forefather gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel says, listen, I'm going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. And Jeremiah said to the family, the Rechabites, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The God of Israel says, you have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all of his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, said. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a descendant to serve me. Let's pray. Father, move in power, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, if you're not prayed up before you start preaching, there's no sense to start trying to pray up then. I've entitled this Stand. I want you to say to your neighbor, Stand. Turn to your other neighbor and say, Stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, he put on the full armor of God and stand. Having done all else, stand. To stand. It doesn't just mean to stand up physically for the sake of today's message. It has much more meaning than that. This is an unusual passage that I've chosen to preach from. I've shared it at other times. So impactful to me today. These Rechabites come and they stand on the conviction not to drink wine. To stand, in the context of what I'm preaching to you in this series, Healing America, means to be immovable in your convictions. To be immovable in your convictions. To stand. Conviction is more than an opinion. It's a deeply settled or deeply held belief. I have certain convictions that are deeply held, but they're not biblical. I've struggled with some of those. It's okay to have convictions like that. For instance, our ushers. I've given a command for our ushers. I don't want them wearing hats. That's so relatively new. I just don't want to wear hats. I don't want our ushers wearing hats. Why would you do that? Because in an older generation, somebody said, how old are you? None of your business. You know, you're told you're not. Somebody said, you're 38. Somebody called me, I think you're 38. I'm like, God bless you, your whole family. I'm not 38, I'm 58. But my father, who is a Marine and a lawyer, and my mother, who my blessed mother on the third row, they taught me as a kid, you do not wear your hat inside. Now listen, if you're wearing a hat right now, except for the ushers, leave it on your head, because I really don't care unless you're an usher. And the reason I've done that is that there's a whole older generation that feels to wear a hat is disrespectful. And I was trained that way. Now there's a whole new generation that doesn't think anything about it, and that's fine. Everybody say that's fine. Okay, because you're not going to find something, and don't start and get into those scriptures about covering your head and start getting after me with that. I just have a conviction about that. I'm not talking about that. The kind of convictions that God wants us to have to stand on are biblical beliefs, conviction rooted in the truth of God's word. Because if we don't learn to stand, our nation is going to get flushed. We're going to come under judgment. Now, we just had evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and he said there's a great revival. I totally agree. If there isn't one, we're in big trouble. Conviction of sin. Conviction. In the Greek, it's elanko. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but it's someone of truth. It's to reprove. It's to accuse, but it's also to hold that which is sacred, to have conviction. Romans 4 and 20, talking of Father Abraham, he was fully persuaded or fully convinced. He had the conviction that God was going to bring forth the word, the promise that he had towards him. There's so much psychological babble where people excuse obeying biblical mandates because of something that happened to them maybe in their life. And I'll just use a random one. It's sort of humorous. I don't hear it too often. I was bottle fed instead of naturally fed. And as a result, I've got problems. You know, no matter what happened to you in your life, you can choose to get over it. Come on, somebody bump your neighbor and say, we can get healed. Go ahead, say it. Now, I'm not making light of what happened to you. I understand things happen. But you have to choose to overcome and don't use a psychological babble as an excuse for not obeying God. You have to obey God. No one is excused from obeying God and living rightly. So sometimes we have a way of rationalizing things that really should not be rationalized, a way of accommodating our sin. Well, I have an anger problem because my father had an anger problem, and I'm told that my grandfather had an anger problem, and we just have anger problems. No, you have a sin condition. You need to break it. You need to break out of that thing. Well, we just, talking to someone who had all kinds of adulterous relationships, and this was literally the answer. I was like, what are you thinking? He said, well, I just got a lot of love, and I need to spread it around. No, you're a disease. You've got issues. You need deliverance. You have a spirit of lust. Let's look at the text. Jeremiah is a prophet to the backslidden nation, Judah. And they're facing the judgment of God. He's a contemporary of Habakkuk. And God gives Jeremiah a word, which is rather profound, that God would speak to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah doesn't know the end result. He just has this word. I don't think Jeremiah even knew that the Rechabites didn't drink wine. But then again, maybe he did. But God speaks to Jeremiah a word to have the Rechabites come to the temple and have them drink wine. The Rechabites, you know who these people were? How many remember Jehu? He ran with Jehu in the throwing down of Jezebel. You'll find the story of the Rechabites in 2 Kings chapter 10. These were a tough people. They were a passionate people. They loved God. They were worshipers of God. And you'll see that 2 Kings 10, 15 to 28. And they adhered strictly to the command of their forefather, Jonadab. Don't drink wine. Don't plant seed. Don't build houses. You're going to be nomads. And so they're brought in, and they're invited to drink, and they refused to drink the wine. You know what's interesting? If you go and you look at the time period from 2 Kings 10 to the time period we read now in Jeremiah 35 is approximately, now it's a long time ago, so dates kind of, there's two different Gregorian calendar, Hebrew calendar, things kind of shuffle around a little bit. But as far as scholars can figure, it's approximately 243 to 247 years, depending upon who you read. Let's call it 247. I like it for a lot of reasons. 247 years before the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah to invite the Rechabite clan. By the way, 247 years before the Rechabite clan was a clan. So they had been given the command by their founding father, Jonadab, the Rechabite, 247 years approximately pass, and the word comes from God to Jeremiah to invite the whole clan. Do you know how long the United States of America is a nation? I'll tell you. I know you know. 247 years this year. And I thought that to be amazing. I thought that's astounding. How far we've come from the biblical mandate at the start of this nation. You can't read the Constitution of the United States of America and not see scripture all over it. Ideas like inalienable rights, endowed by our Creator. On and on and on. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, which is going to be offensive to some of you, especially online, and they really don't care. That if you take God out of the equation, the Constitution doesn't work. Oz Guinness, I'm off my notes, but it would be good to write it down. Oz Guinness talks about the golden triangle of virtue and freedom, and it's so important. If you don't have God at the center of it, our nation doesn't work. So others have been pushing God out of the center square, have been pushing the Ten Commandments away, have been stepping away from God's word, the command, really. They refused to drink wine, and I rounded up because over 250 years before, their father said, don't drink wine, and they were obedient. That is amazing. So here in chapter 35, God used a whole tribe of people to teach a singular lesson to the people of Judah. Obey my word. I believe that America is going to come under a great outpouring of the Spirit of God, but it will not happen separate from obedience to his word. God gives Jeremiah this message to give to the people of Judah that the Rechabites obeyed their father, but the Jews have not obeyed their heavenly father. The Rechabites obeyed their fallible, dead forefather, and they're not obeying the living God. I mean, it's quite a rebuke. America needs to turn back to God. I preached last week and I talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, we defined that. Go listen to it, it's on YouTube. Turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. God wants us to turn. There's so many people in the church that are half-hearted, so many people that are double-minded. So many people think that you can have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom as long as I go to church. That's not the case. That is not the case. This is an hour in which we need to stand like never before. The result of not obeying God is judgment for Judah. Now Israel and Judah, they're separate at this time. 10 tribes are sent off. The diaspora, they're gone. The Judah has remained, but they're going to come under judgment. But a reward for the Rechabites' obedience is a privilege of serving the Lord. So God's speaking to us this morning very clearly. We must stand. We must stand. We must stand in our country. I can't help but think about when in Nazi Germany and different places, Jews were carried off and put in concentration camps. And I've forgotten the quote, please forgive me, when I was in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., I was so impacted. A quote from one of the men who survived said, "We so deeply regret not standing up and making a difference. If we had all done it, then none of us would have been taken away. It would be quiet while your neighbor next to you is being yanked out of their hiding place. And they would be quiet. They would conceal the fact they were Jews, that they were hid up in an upper room. And they said, oh, if we had all stood, I'm telling you, it's time to stand. It's time to vote. It's time to stand up for God. Because if we don't, we'll be swept away in a great dissipation of defilement. It's already happened, just not fully. Anybody else gonna stand in America? I'm a patriot, I'm gonna stand. I'm a Christian first. It's against my religion to not stand up. It's against my religion to not declare it. We have to have God-given biblical convictions. It wasn't really all that long ago. Maybe 10 years ago. 10 years is not long ago. How many of you know if you're older, 10 years is like, oh yeah. I used to think 10 years is like eternity. You know, when you're 10, 10 years is your whole life. Seems as we get older, 20 years isn't all that long. It's probably 10 years ago. Somebody gave their heart to Jesus right here in these altars at the other building, of course. And they said, you know, I love Jesus and I smoke weed. I'm like, well, that's not good. He said, but it's legal. It doesn't make it right. My mama taught me when I was a little boy, if your friend jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? It's interesting, though, how you followed your friend jumping off the bridge because bad company corrupts good character. Where's the people that are not going to jump off the bridge? Where are the people that are not going to, you know, drink the Kool-Aid? Where's the ones that are not going to drink the Kool-Aid? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to stand for righteousness and truth? Who's going to stand up for God? His eyes, the Bible says, go to and fro, looking for a man, looking for a woman whose heart is steadfast. I believe he's found some people in Wasilla, Alaska that will stand. Come on, if you're going to stand up, say, I'm going to stand. Say it. We need to stand up. We need to stand up. You know, I'm just the kind, but if I see somebody getting abused on the side of the road or whatever, I stop it. Yeah, amen. If somebody's getting robbed, I can't help it. It's not a thought process. I run right into danger and bring judgment. Amen. Yeah. We have to have non-negotiables. Non-negotiables. We must have God-given biblical convictions. These are shaped by our constant choices to obey the Ten Commandments. I want you to think about this. Do you need to obey the Ten Commandments, yes or no? Say yes. Yes. Yeah, you do. Okay, I was just helping you. Some of you think, well, the Ten Commandments, I'm in Christ, so I don't need to. No, you still need to obey them. Can you? The answer is no, you need a Savior. But it shows you what's right. It shows you what's wrong. The Ten Commandments are very, very important. They embrace the life and ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives. You've got to embrace that. It has to become part of you. In the Bracken family, we have very firm convictions over many, many things. I do. Now, I don't think drinking wine is wrong unless you get intoxicated. Getting drunk is wrong. I don't drink wine, don't drink beer, don't drink any fermented thing, because I've made a covenant commitment with God. I've made a covenant commitment with my pastor. I've made a covenant commitment with my wife. I made a covenant commitment with the Lord, with my children. I don't drink. Are you ever going to drink again? Absolutely. Yes. And what a day, what a day, that, what a day that'll be. What are you talking about? Because I'm going to drink wine in the new kingdom at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But I will not, it will not touch my lips before that. Amen. Jesus isn't drinking wine. You'll drink it with him in the kingdom. That'll be a day that I will have a bowl or whatever he serves me. I don't even know how that works. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. But you're messed up if you're just craving that bowl when one day you're in the kingdom. You need healing. Believe me, I don't think like, oh, that one, that bowl. Oh, I got to get the bowl. Oh, the bowl. Oh, the bowl. Oh, yeah, you need deliverance. Yeah, our convictions need to be shaped by constant choices to obey the Ten Commandments and embrace the life and ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives. There was that, you remember the little armband that was around, what would Jesus do, WWJD? It was big back in the 90s. Well, how do you gonna know what he would do if you don't know what he did? Come on. It's just like, I feel like Jesus would smoke weed. Well, he wouldn't. I don't think I finished that story. They said, well, I just smoke weed. I want to smoke weed. I'm not convicted. 10 years ago, the person said to me. I said, you're not convicted because you don't look at the scriptures actually as the source of truth and the foundation of your faith and the purpose and the backing of your convictions. Okay, it doesn't say anything about wearing ushers not wearing hats. I just have a personal conviction about it. Is that wrong? No, it isn't. If you don't like it, maybe you can start your own church and everybody can wear hats. I just have a personal conviction about it, and it comes from my childhood. And I've had older people that get offended. And I'm just trying to avoid all things that are offensive unless, except for the stuff that should offend you, which is truth. Everybody lift your hands to heaven. You know what you feel right now? Air conditioning. It's not as cold as it's going to be in Jesus' name, but it's begun. We're fine-tuning it. Glory to God. All right. So what did Jesus do? How are you gonna know what he would do if you don't know what he did? You gotta read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Read through it, understand who he is and what he did. We're to become part of a body of believers and become disciples. I've told my staff, you know, we're supposed to be models that if somebody followed my life, would they end up blessed? I believe so. He said, that's kind of arrogant. It's not. It's called leadership. If someone followed your life, how would they end up? I'm not feeling the love down the center. I'm going to go over here. If someone followed your life, they lived exactly like you were living, would they end up blessed? Would they end up in a place of joy and fulfillment and fulfilling purpose? Or would they be jacked up? They said, I got some jacked up stuff. Well, change. Come on, change. Get in the Word. Know what these convictions are. Know what your convictions are. We've made a deal, Pastor Karen and I. We have a conviction. I can't ride with another woman in my car, me and some other woman, unless it's my mother or my daughter, and I'm going to have some grandchildren. If they end up being a girl, I'll be riding with her too. Somebody said, well, what? Now, wait a minute. What if somebody from the church is on the side of the road and they've sprained their ankle and they don't have a ride and you see that it's them and they see that it's you, are you gonna pull over and help them? Absolutely, with my cell phone and my trunk. No. The point is, it's a bad joke, but the point is, you will never, ever, ever see me riding with another woman in my car by myself. Why? I don't ever want to be accused, not that they would, but I also don't want it to be something that you look and think, oh, pastor's not doing what our other pastor did, or whatever. You'll never be able to say that. Why? Because I have a conviction. That's not happening. I've in elevators. I've gone to get on elevators. The door opens and she's all. I'm like, I'll be on the next one. No, come on in. There's lots of room. Thanks. And I've had people be like, get out. And I'll go, well, I'll take that one then. But it's kind of offensive. It's settled decisions. Something I started long ago when we go to restaurants. This is just how it is for me. We go to the Texas Roadhouse, get a nice ribeye. Well, there's a drink menu, an alcohol menu of the fancy drinks that they're serving. I couldn't even tell you what they are. The second we sit down, ask my family, ask anybody that got it. I don't care if we go to eat together. I grab that. I fold it. I put it away. When they come to say at a restaurant, you know, you're going to get that ribeye, this red wine. Of course, not at Texas Roadhouse. This red wine pairs marvelously. Oh, it's amazing. Look, I don't care what it pairs with. Well, you can pair it with whatever you want. It ain't pairing with, I'm not drinking. My wife used to say until the kids got on her about it, she says, we don't drink wine. We drink the new wine. Ramakapapa, ramakapapa. It's not a question. I do it like I would scratch my head. If you have an itch, you scratch it. You don't even, it's involuntary. The second I go, I'm settled in that. It's not a discussion. I grab it, I fold it, it's gone. Convictions. Think about the Rechabites. These guys, we need to stand on God-given convictions no matter what the pressure. No matter what the pressure of the world, the flesh, the devil. You need to stand with biblical convictions. What if they don't like me? They already don't. And let me ask you, whose opinion of your life really matters? Think about the Rechabites. First of all, they come, the whole clan is brought together. How many people are in your family? I'm going to think about that. Think about how many people are in your family from 247 years ago with your same last name. Think about that. Think about how many Brackens there were. They were Irish Catholics, and they populated like bunnies, and they had so many kids, 10, 12 kids, 14 kids. You know, not so much now. But there's a massive amount of cousins, first cousins, second cousins, third cousins. And if they didn't have a full family reunion going back 247 years, it could be, very possibly, thousands of people come. It's not just you and your four little 3.5 kids, and then your cousins and we come to the temple. That's not what happened. This is a massive crowd that comes to the temple in Jerusalem. And great hospitality is shown. Great hospitality. They roll it all out and they put wine in front of them. And they don't cave under the pressure of being at the most important place in the world. The most important place in the world was the temple. I think I skipped that, but there you go. Great hospitality shown. And the prophet Jeremiah was doing everything in obedience to the word of the Lord, which is rather amazing. Now, you would think that the Rechabites would be like, well, the word of the Lord now is from the prophet at the temple in Jerusalem. Dude, I'll have a bowl. Think about the pressure. There is incredible pressure on pastors and leaders to just behave themselves. There's incredible pressure on political people to cave. And many are corrupt and bought and paid for. We need to stand in this hour of history like never before. I will never cave to same-sex. We will not ever, no matter what the laws are, no matter what anybody says, far be it for us to obey them rather than the word of God. Cannot, will not ever do a same-sex marriage. It's not marriage. It's a union. Done, made up, not ordained by God. It's wrong. I cannot ever endorse a gender change. At best, it's demonic. Are you telling me my confusion about my gender is demonic? Let me be very kind to you and say emphatically yes. and you can be set free. And you can be set free here. And if you struggle with that, you come and talk to me. We will help you. We have counseling, reparative therapy. We'll lay hands on you. We'll pray for you. But don't swallow that pill that you just can choose your gender and pretend that you're God. You're not God. You're either a man or a woman. That's it. Now, is that offensive? Is that going to get us cut? Are we going to lose likers? Not here for likers. Here to obey God. Here to preach biblical conviction and the truth of God's word. Come on, somebody say amen. Say, gosh, it's kind of intense. These are intense times. We've got to stand in spite of what's happening. We've got to stand in spite of what's happening nationally, internationally. We've got to stand. The pressure they were under was intense. At the temple, all of the relatives, the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, serves them wine. Now we got to stand at what's happening in this hour. Personally, we must stand. Y'all with me? Number three, we got it on the screen. Personally, we must stand. You know, perhaps you've come from a broken home and now you live with them and they're not so happy you come to this church. I mean, why would you listen to your two-pack-a-day aunt who smokes two packs of cigarettes a day? Why
would you go to that church?
Why would you listen to that? I don't want to offend her. Listen, she needs to be offended so she can get delivered. How about you taking a stand can actually mean your aunt gets born again? I was talking to somebody, and they were telling me they have some challenges with their adult children. And I said, do they live in your house? He said, yes. I said, there's no challenge then. It's an adult. We're not talking about an infant. It's an adult. So what do you mean by that? We have rules. My son has the same rules for his life, but before they became his convictions, they were mine that I enforced upon him. So if you have an adult child that's in your house and they refuse to obey your rules, let me just tell you, you should kick him off the boat like they did with Jonah. You should lovingly set the rules and don't threaten anymore and help them. Quit being codependent. Well, I'm not feeling the love too much here, but we must personally stand as parents. As a parent, it's my way or the highway. That's it. Then there's no talking back either. We allowed them to entreat, and I'm glad. You know what entreat is? Dad, I don't think you understand. Can I explain it to you? And my answer is yes. They explained thus and thus and so, and then they realized, okay, we give you an absolution. We give you a variation on that one. An appeal. Very good. But other than that, you can obey in my house. So this is someone who's now having this great challenge because they're not standing, because there's a lack of agreement maybe in the marriage. And I've seen people who were horribly abused, and then now they don't enforce any rules, they just feel guilty about it because they're afraid of bringing the wood, bringing the chastisement because they were abused. So they're not going to do any of it. And then this is for somebody, different message here, right here, than the first one. Then they view any implementation of the rules is abuse, and it hits them in their own heart for when their dad did what they did or when their mom did what they did, and they're broken in their own soul, so they actually can't lovingly. Listen, love is not you can do anything that you want to. Love actually crucified Jesus. So there is a chastisement, there is a correction, and if you allow nonsense in your home, it's your fault. But you can get healed. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4. I remember on a 40-day fast in the island of Molokai. And I was getting to the very end of a 40-day liquid fast. I'd never done one before that. By the grace of God, was able to complete it. And then a 40-day water fast saved this church long ago, saved it. We're here as a result of that and to other times of prayer and intercession. God, we're here by God's grace. Otherwise, we've been wiped out long ago. Devil hates churches like this, churches that'll stand. Devil doesn't care about a compromising, limp-wristed, half-hearted church. He does care about a people who will stand up. That's why we had so much obstacles, so many challenges of which we've overcome, because Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've found this, that you, God, you can't stop God. When God said he's going to do something, he'll do it. There's not a devil in hell, nothing he could do. There's nothing the devil can do. You can't stop God. You can't stop him unless you quit. So I'm on day 37. One of my jobs was to feed the cat in the house. How many of you gentlemen have jobs at your home? All right. We've got broken up responsibilities, so I was the cat feeder. I went out and popped a can of Frisky Treats. On day 37 of a liquid fast. And honestly, at that time, it's just like the wind blew. I would have this encounter with God, so I gave away my wallet. I wasn't driving anymore. I was dangerous. I needed to finish 3 days. I popped that, and I remember just looking at it and going, oh, yes. Oh, God. And then all of a sudden, it was like the Spirit of God quickened me. What are you doing? I'm like, God. Oh, God. I fed that stupid cat. We never had another one after that. It was the last cat we ever had. I came in actually in the flesh and angry. I said, I'm not feeding the cat anymore. You're feeding the cat until this is done. I almost ate that blasted can of food. I think it was day 39. I do a wedding. Perform a wedding for a Japanese couple from Japan. And they have a huge reception. Man, I got one day left. And they're like, please come to the reception. I'm like, no, that's okay. Because I can smell food through brick walls. I'm like, no. No, thanks. They're like, no, please. And then then Pastor Robert says, you have to go. It's like an honor thing. You have to go. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, so we're going to go. I'm going to make it. I've got conviction. Amen. We go. We sit there. I'm at the head of the table. There's all these beautiful people from Japan. A big feast is rolled out, and it's shrimp, one of my favorite foods at that time. Ribeyes are now my favorite food, but it was shrimp. And everybody's served, and they want me to pray, so I pray, Lord, bless the food. Thank you for this couple. Amen. And everybody's just staring at me. And they're like, hi, hi. I'm like, hi. They go, hi, hi. And it's obvious. Nobody's going to eat anything until the pastor eats. Well, I'm not eating. So I'm like, hi. And they're like, hi, hi, hi. Good job, boss. Hi. Good job, man. And I realized, I have to eat. Lord. So I stab a shrimp. I put it in my mouth and got instantly raptured straight to heaven. Right? No, that's not what happened. I put that thing in my mouth, and it was like glorious. I was like, oh, I almost started crying. And then everybody starts eating. So I'm chewing this shrimp, and I'm realizing I can suck the juice out of it. Has anybody done a long fast? Don't look at me like that. So I'm just like, I'm sucking the juice out of that shrimp. I'm not going to eat. It's still a liquid fast, Pastor Vince. It's still liquid. It was the best liquid I had in 39 days. And so I spit it out into a cloth napkin, and I thought, I could probably do another one of those. I ate like 75 shrimp, just the juice. Anyway, enjoy that story as an isolated whole. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time. Come on, say, I've spent enough time. You spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, and drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They're surprised that you do not join with them in their recklessness, wild living. They heap up abuse on you. But you will have to give, but they will have to give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. You owe an obligation to live under biblical conviction, not according to what the government says, not according to what your neighbor says, not to be just weak. Gird yourself, arm yourself is a warfare word. Arm yourself with the same attitude. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this kingdom. I'm from another kingdom. I'm just passing through. I'm here in this earth suit passing through. I'm a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. I cannot vote for anything except according to biblical convictions based on truth. Can't vote for same-sex marriage. Can't vote for abortion. I'm against abortion. Thank God for Roe versus Wade, and may they overthrow the marriage one too. I'm so grateful for the governor in Louisiana who put the Ten Commandments back in the school. May it happen in Alaska. Yeah, well, that fight's not done yet. Whatever, I'm going to stand with them. If you look at how the America turned from the time they took prayer and the Word of God out of schools, it's a graph that goes straight up. Violence, perversion, all kinds of stuff. God will honor people who stand. God will honor people who keep their God-given convictions. And you see that in Daniel chapter 6. God honored Daniel. He told him, you can't pray. He prays three times a day now and opens up the window so everybody can hear him. Do the right thing. Years ago, we started the church, and there was some confusion at the church. It was in New Zealand years ago, many, many years ago. It was over 20-something years ago. And a group of people didn't want a covenant to build a church. They just wanted a place to hear the word and have some fellowship. Because they didn't want a covenant to build the church and would not basically agree upon doctrine, upon vision, upon all of those things, there was no agreement. There was just people that were from other churches that wanted to bounce around. I'll never forget what Dr. Morocco said. He came back and said, we don't build churches that way. We build churches based on covenant, on agreement. And there is none. And then you could hear it in his voice. He said, listen to me. You do what's right. And if people don't like it, they can cram it. Now, we do not understand the definition of cram it. But I never forgot that. Do the right thing. And if you get in trouble, you'll be righteous before God and he'll make a way for you. You might have less likers for sure, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love what they said. Oh, and if God doesn't deliver us, we still ain't bowing down to your idols. And who shows up in the furnace? The fourth man, one like the Son of Man. You might be in a place of difficulty because you did the right thing. I'm telling you, God will come through for you. I remember years ago when I was getting paid cash under the table and I was ignorant to taxes. I wasn't trained. I didn't know. And I remember talking to this precious lady, Flo Ann. I came into church, years ago, before I was a pastor, before I was a leader. And I came in, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed. I came in, I got a wad of cash. I'm a tithe. Glory to God. Can't wait. It's on fire. And she says to me, boy, you look happy this morning, Daniel. I said, I am. I've been delivered. I'm on the top. The devil's underneath my feet. I'm blessed in the city. I got a cash-paying job under the table. Come on! And she's like, excuse me? I said, yeah, cash under the table. She's like, you still need to pay taxes. I was like, yeah. What? She said, you have to pay taxes. You give to Caesar. I just started walking away. Give to Caesar what Caesar's, Daniel. Give to God what's God's. I'm like, okay. What the heck? So I had already worked high-paying job. I was my own boss. I had already worked a whole year. I remember when it came tax time. When it came tax time, there it was. You can forgive me, right? Like now, it's under the blood. I didn't know. Now, Lord, and the Lord's like, write the number. I'm like, oh. I wrote down the number and instantly put myself in tremendous difficulty, owing the IRS $20,000. But I did the right thing. Now, you might have an argument about that, but God, I'm going to tell you something. 20 grand ain't nothing for God. And we got garnished. It was embarrassing. And then God supernaturally paid the whole thing off eventually. Amen. Do the right thing. If you violate your conscience all the time, come on, what good is that? Am I helping anybody here? Live by your convictions, and God will elevate you. God will elevate you. I need to close. Keys, please. Let me ask you, are you for sale? How much? No, I mean, how much, what's the sum of money for you to sell out? Is there a sum? You sure? You know how you know? When the sum comes. And you know, true story, New York City, the Plaza Hotel, lady was working there, very pretty lady, married, Christian, kids. A sheik would come in every year and try to seduce her. Well, she wasn't for sale. I think it was on the third year, he comes in and has his servant offer her $1 million to spend the night with him. She said, no, I'm a Christian. No, I'm not doing that. Just so happens that they had hard times had fallen on them. And they were struggling. They were in debt. $1 million would have solved all the problems. Well, that's not happening. She's happily married, loves the Lord. As the day went on, it just began to really greater. And she thought, I could just do that and we'd be out of debt and our problems would be over. So she made the call. Talked to the servant. They set up the car to come and pick her up. She worked things out at home so her husband wouldn't know. She got in the car and she went off and had an evening with the sheik. When it was all over, driving back in the limousine to the hotel, the servant is now going to pay her the money. So he has this check out and he says, okay, how about $250,000 instead? She said, you said $1 million. It's $1 million. What are we doing? He says, we're negotiating. Okay, $300,000. She's crying. She's upset. She says, what do you take me for? And he says, we already know what you are. $300,000. What would it be for you to sell out? Is there a number? Is there a price? Is there? You know, you don't know until that comes, then you know. But if you don't settle in your heart that you're going to go all the way, you're going to stand. There's going to be there's people in the room this morning that won't be serving God 1 year from now. You'll sell out to your emotions or you'll sell out to, I don't know. I mean, I pray that's not the case. I've just been around long enough to know. There's going to be some people that don't make it. I've purpose in my heart. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do more than make it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to overcome. Be open to the work, the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Be open to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Have non-negotiables and be open to allowing God to speak to you. Give, live in purity, serve, develop covenant relationships with people who go all the way with you. We can avoid evil by asking, is what I'm about to do going to honor God? Is what you're about to do going to honor God or not? And final point, if we stand, God will heal America. God will heal America. I have a new friend. His name's Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. He is over 24,000 Spanish churches, Pentecostal churches in America. He was a speaker over at our conference in the Hawaiian Islands just this last time. And I've met him once before and we're working out a date for him to come up here. Powerful preacher. And he tells this story that just jumped me right out of my seat when he told it. He said, we had this incredible deal that came to the church. It was this campus, many acres, many buildings, large sanctuaries, everything we needed as our church was growing. And they were just going to give it to us. It was from a main denomination that didn't have a pastor to lead it, and they want to let it go and do some other things. So they found us, and they're going to give it to us. So we have a meeting. I have to bring all of my board, and they come bringing all of their board, and we sit down in this room to discuss the final turning over of this property. I mean, gymnasium, school, beautiful sanctuary, on and on and on. And they sit down to discuss it, and the board of the organization giving away the property to Pastor Sam says, you know, we have some questions before we ratify and finalize the deal. He says, oh, no problem. He says, okay, well, as a church, as an organization, as a denomination, we lean left. Which way do you lean? And he heard the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on him, and the Holy Spirit said, tell him. And he knew that if he was just going to go ahead and tell him that they're not getting the land, they're not getting the property, they're not getting all this stuff that they needed, they prayed for it, they desired it, that it was all going to go away. The deal was going to be broken. And the Holy Spirit says, tell him. And he looks at his board, and the board's like, dude. He says, okay, you lean left, we stand. We stand on God's word. We stand for righteousness. We stand for truth. We stand for freedom. We stand for the power of the Holy Spirit. We stand for what's right and pure and just. We don't lean. We don't lean. And I'm telling you, God is raising up a people. Come on, stand up on your feet and say, I'm going to stand. Come on, I'm going to stand. We got to raise up a church that's on fire, uncompromised, in biblical conviction. Yes, filled with the love of God. Yes, helping the hungry, the broken, the sick, the lame, the halt, the withered. We have convictions to do that. We cannot change biblical mandates of what's true. Sociological law rules the day, but not here. And if America would turn back to God, turn back to His Word, there would be a great release of His power. Why not here? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Say, God, I'm going to stand. You go ahead and tell Him. You tell Him in your own words. Oh, I'm not for sale. I'm going to stand. Say it. I'm going to stand. Lord, I pray that a sweeping move of Your Spirit would come upon America. I pray, God, as we now cross to the 147th birthday of our nation, that our country would come back to You, that our country would return to the Word of God, that the Ten Commandments would not just be put in schools, people would read them, they'd put in homes, they'd be emblazoned upon the hearts of Your people, and that You would overthrow the ungodly legislation, and You would overthrow the perversion, You would overthrow the LGBTQ+ agenda. We love people, but we cannot, we will not endorse that which is clearly sin. Call it a hate crime. It's only because you don't understand that God loves you and He's got a plan for your life, and you can't play God. You can't change your gender. You can't do it. Oh, you can. They don't share all those reports. I've listened to them. Some of them, they're so upsetting. People who come to their senses. If you don't let a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old drive a car, how in God's name can you let them make a choice on whether they're a man or a woman, boy or a girl? You can't, because they're not done yet. They need healing. They need help. Oh, I know it's not a popular message, but who's going to say it? I am. I will. Let the chips fall. We need to stand. Come on, say we're going to stand. I started saying, and I'm concluding now. You listen, they don't broadcast the reports of all the people that made permanent decisions. I'm going to say it as graciously as I know how. They made permanent decisions about a temporary confusion. And now it's permanent. And they do interviews and they talk to these. That's not broadcast. You know why? Because it's like 98%. In pain the rest of their life, can no longer enjoy any activity. Can I say it that way? They're tormented. and they don't know what to do. I want to say this. If you've been through that, you're going through that, you come to Kings Alaska, we'll help you get healed. We'll help you get healed. We'll help you get set free. And I believe that maybe, I know it's possible. God can do creative miracles. Come on. Come on. He can raise the dead. He can heal people. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. If you're not right with God, give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment to him. You say, that's me. Lift your hand to heaven. If that's you, want to get right with God, God bless you. Go ahead. Want to get right with God? God bless you. Want to recommit or you want to give your heart to him first time? Lift your hand now. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Pray with me and we'll conclude. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Come and make your home in my heart. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands like you're getting a big gift from heaven. I pray with every hand that's raised that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and that you would put a bold, fiery conviction. I'm asking, God, you not only fill them, but you'd empower them to stand. I pray, God, that you would raise up from this house people that are filled with the zeal of the house of the Lord like Phinehas. I pray from this place you'd raise up those like unto John the Baptist who wouldn't be moved by fashion, wouldn't be moved by the palace, wouldn't be moved by money, couldn't be sold, couldn't be bought, because he understands that he's been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. I pray, raise up people with grit that'll stand and vote and decree unashamedly of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Put your best hand clap together for the King. Come on, come on. God bless America. Come on, say it. God bless America. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed the broadcast and it's enriched you and helped you in your life. If you've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do it now? Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each and every person that prayed that prayer out of sincerity of heart. I pray a breaking off of every assignment of darkness, any chain, any bondage, any habit that's not of God, that you would sever it and set them free. I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, touch them and fill them now and use them for your purpose and give them a hunger for your word and for the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, text us, would you, so that we can help you grow in the things of God. Text SAVED to the number 907-357-2065. If you don't have a home church, we hope that you would find a home with us here at Kings, Alaska. If you're in some other part of the nation or the world, find a good local church that preaches and teaches God's word and grow in the things of God. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you in future broadcasts or in services. Praise the Lord.